What should have been a beautiful tropical vacation for a couple turned into a horrible nightmare, as they would soon discover that they were not alone in their haunted hotel suite.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show, we would greatly appreciate that. That's what helps keep this program on the air. Without your support, we don't exist, quite frankly. So if you want that, we make it worth your while. We give you bonus episodes every single week, a brand new EPP bonus episode. You also get access to our archive of episodes, advanced episodes of the show. It's all commercial free. I also throw out our ebook and our audiobook to you as well. Those together right there, that's like a $30, $40 value, depending if you bought it through Audible and Amazon and all that. You get all that immediately when you sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month, where you can do a yearly membership, and you get an even extra perk there. If you do the yearly thing, you get a whole month free too. So lots of extras, all the content, all the bonuses there for you. We try to make it as worthwhile as we can for you, and we greatly appreciate your support. Without you guys, we don't exist. It's Tony and Carol on today's show, and how are things in your world today?
Well, Tony,
I should state we're recording this.
I don't have an answer.
I should state we're recording this on January 6th of 2011. Or 2021, rather. Not 2011, 2021.
Wait, I have that new effect on my microphone. Maybe that'd be a good time to use it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
And all day today, we've been watching the United States Capitol being stormed and invaded.
It's been the weirdest day. And I've got a lot of things I'd like to say.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I'll just say this one thing.
I think that it's okay to disagree with people.
Sure.
And I don't want to surround myself with a bunch of people who think like I do. That said, I prefer to not surround myself with a bunch of people who are mean. And there's a lot of mean people. Really mean people. Because I had someone today basically say on my Facebook page that it's time for the Civil War.
Yeah.
And that really upset me. And I'm like, you know, the thing is that I don't even think it's about being Republican or about being Democrat. It's about being Americans. And this is not how we act.
This is not America.
If this was happening in another country, the United States goes and tries to figure that shit out for them.
I've been sitting here wondering how long until another country says we need to send our troops to America.
Right?
To get their shit together.
And so to me, that just bothers me because I just think you might not agree with the government. You might not agree with who was elected.
But
that shit happens all the time. Like,
sure.
I'm always on the wrong side of the elections, I swear. And I wasn't even that excited about either of the candidates this year, to be honest. But you go with what you have, and then you do what you can to make the world a better place.
There's no excuse for doing what happened today. You cannot storm into the United States Capitol building with weapons and basically threaten the security of the House and the Senate and the leaders of our country, whether you like them or not. That is never acceptable.
Because what happened today literally stopped democracy.
It did.
And
it's never acceptable.
So, so that bothered me. So it's just been a weird day, and it's like, I know. Let's talk about something normal, like ghosts.
Let's do that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. First letter, it says, we just wrote a book on our true life experiences starting at age 3. Now in our 60s, he wanted to share them with others. I've attached a file of one of our chapters, an audio version, for you to listen to. If you would like me to send you a copy of our book, please give me your mailing address. Thank you for the opportunity. Here's our story. Time period was in May of 2017. Throughout its history, Key West and the Keys in general have held a bit of a frontier. Outlaw, mystique, adventurers, castaways, smugglers, runaways, renegade souls of various stripes have always been and still are attached to the area. And a significant part of Keys regional lore is the many tales of the exploits of the pirates of the Florida Keys and the Caribbean waters beyond. Some decisions in life are simple and straightforward. Where to have lunch, where to get your oil changed, whether to order a la carte or not, which movie to watch on Netflix, etc. It's safe to say that none of these decisions, like the innumerable ones we make in the course of a typical day, is expected to be a life-changing event. The decision my husband and I made to visit the Key West area during May of 2017 was not one of those decisions. Our original reason for our Sunshine State vacation was to catch a saltfish or two in the waters off West Palm Beach. Once there, we felt that we more than made up for our lack of luck in that department with a heck of a catch right up to the legal limit of mahi-mahi instead. Our lovely day on the blue waters of South Florida nearing its end, I think my husband and I knew that we were still not quite ready to say goodbye to the land of coconut palms and pina coladas. After cleansing our fish and preparing a few choice specimens for that evening's dinner, Michael and I gave each other that look, the look of recognition of yet another good thing coming to an end. The look you might see on the faces of two kids who just heard 30 minutes until closing over the PA system at Disney World telling them that the best day of their young lives is about to come to an end. And we saw it. Michael had just packed the last fish in our cooler and was about to start carrying our gear to the dock. Suddenly, I thought to remind him to look down and make sure that he hadn't forgotten anything. He looked down at the sheet of newspaper on which he had placed his paraphernalia. He stopped moving, apparently transfixed by something he saw. He asked me to come over and look. It turned out that his attention had been focused on a newspaper and advertisement for a hotel in Key West. And in the ad, there was mention of that island town's colorful past. And in the great age of piracy, we looked at each other lovingly, giggling like a couple of kids at our good fortune. You see, we'd already heard about Key West's many charms and couldn't quite put the thought of visiting this dreamy island destination out of our minds. Already convinced that this gem of a town was out of this world, what we didn't know was that our visit would involve a whole bunch of experiences that would indeed be, in the most literal sense, exactly that, out of this world. Key West is a tropical fantasy of palm-kissed beaches, pastel-painted homes, and always-smiling natives, or conscious. We could have flown the 165 miles from Miami, but decided on a leisurely drive on the scenic causeway in our convertible rental car. The place advertised in the newspaper was nothing less than a 5-star remodeled historic hotel in the center of town, a location that put us right in the center of the action. We wasted no time in making a reservation. Later that day, we found ourselves standing in front of Key West's southernmost point, Boyu Marker. The one that told us that we were a few feet away from the southernmost point in the United States. Surrounded by breathtaking blue water and some of the best beaches in the world, we were delighted to breathe in the full and vibrant history of the corner of paradise. What could go wrong? Exactly. What could go wrong? We spent that evening of our romantic adventure in Key West with a beautiful dinner cruise on a crystal blue water, taking in the sights while savoring the sea breeze and gently brushed our faces. Afterwards, we walked the downtown streets, enjoying the many unique artists and musicians. And yes, we enjoyed our very first taste of key lime pie, becoming instant fans of the local delicacy. After a full day of driving, shopping, good food, and lots of walking, we were ready to check into our hotel for a quiet and restful evening. Our room had two double beds with a TV set directly in front of one of them, although my husband was very tired and wanted to go right to sleep. I still had some awake time in me and decided to turn on the television. He suggested that we sleep in separate beds so he could get some sleep while I watched TV. I thought this was a great idea. And then it happened. I eventually fell asleep on my side with my back to my husband. At approximately 1 a.m., I was awakened with the sensation of fingertips lightly caressing my hip. I thought. Hubby must have woken up feeling a bit lonely. A few seconds later, however, I could hear him snoring. Oh my God, I thought, what the hell? I just laid there and didn't move, waiting to see what was going to happen next. A few minutes later, I saw the bed covers creeping down towards the bottom of the bed and eventually falling off the bed to the floor. By now, I was thinking a lot worse than, oh my God, and what the hell? I remained completely still, desperately trying to figure out what was happening. About a minute after the bed covers fell to the floor, I could see knee imprints advancing towards me from the other side of the bed. That's when I totally lost it and jumped off the bed, screaming repeatedly, "Something is in the room!" My husband jumped up, ready to fight, saying, "Where? Where?" I said, "I don't know, but I believe me, it's here." The look he gave me was priceless. I told him the last three times what had happened, and I feel he just didn't get it because I guess he thought I must have been having a bad dream. Unfortunately, he was wrong. He quickly tried to comfort me, telling me that everything was okay and nothing was going to happen to me. This was followed up with him climbing into my bed to hold me tight and trying to make me feel safe. "Nothing's going to happen, don't worry," he repeatedly assured me. "Right." I immediately texted my sister with the words, "Something is in our hotel room." When she asked me what I meant, I explained to her what had happened. I must have lain there for at least 2 hours on guard and hypervigilant. I just watched and waited, hoping I would see who or what was in that room with us. My husband and I have been on a lot of vacations and have stayed in a lot of hotels and experiencing something supernatural at any time. Finally, at about 3 a.m. or so, I must have drifted back to sleep. I was awoken at 4:20 a.m. hearing my husband screaming, "Someone is trying to kill me." What I wanted to say to him immediately was, "Welcome to my world." I looked over at him and could see him physically fighting someone that wasn't there. He then jumped out of bed and I could see the terror on his face. He proceeded to describe exactly what happened to him, explaining that suddenly he had awoken to something or someone trying to crush the life out of him by placing their arms around his chest and squeezing like mad. He immediately began struggling to get free, and with one last burst of strength, he did. He then told me to pack my shit because we were leaving pronto. I said, "Where the hell are we going to go? Everything is closed." Assuring that our best bet was to wait a while since there was nothing open at that hour, I convinced him to wait until 6:30 a.m. when the hotel started serving breakfast and stores started opening in town. Meanwhile, I texted my sister and told her, "Michael and I are being attacked in our hotel room." At that point, a morning shower sounded extra good to me, something that might soothe my tortured nerves. I was still badly shaken up by what had happened to us and asked Michael to stay in the bathroom with me. He obliged, sitting in the toilet and checking out the morning news on the internet. And let me just say, we have every, and I mean every, light on. At 6:30 a.m. sharp, Michael went to the lobby to get breakfast and coffee to bring back to our room. Not having slept very well, I mistakenly fell back to sleep while he was gone. Suddenly, I was awakened by the sensation of something trying to squish my forehead into the pillow with the palm of their hand. When I got the nerve to open my eyes to see what was happening, I saw for only a flash a deep tanned skin, damaged male figure with black hair, a black beard with yellow stained rotten teeth. His face was about 6 inches from mine when he exhaled a deep breath right into my face with a horrible smell that was all but deadly. I started to scream, and he suddenly disappeared. I then started to reflect at what I had just encountered. Oh my God, I think I just saw a partially decomposed pirate. For some reason, my inner detective kicked in at that point, and I began thinking back to what I first saw at the hotel online. At the time I booked our room, there were so many 5-star reviews of the business's main features, I didn't bother to read all the comments. After we packed up and left, I went on my computer and read those lesser reviews. There were several comments advising prospective guests not to stay on the 3rd floor because it was haunted. We were in room 312. Before we even left the haunted hotel, however, at checkout, I felt duty-bound to give the nice young desk clerk a report on last night's happenings. I told him what happened in detail to substantiate my report and convince him that it wasn't just the feverish blabber of two people who were way too susceptible to audio-visual hallucinations. I also told him, bottom line, he should get a minister to bless the room. He didn't believe me. Hobby and I then agreed that a good walk would be just what the doctor ordered to soothe our jangled nerves and forget about the ghosts and pirates and things, especially 300-year-old things that insist on sharing your bed uninvited. It soon became apparent, however, that whatever parallel universe had intersected ours the night before wasn't ready to throw in the towel just yet. For while walking through the town, we noticed several ghost tour excursions. The women leading the first one we ran across, helping to delay our return to three-dimensional reality by loudly claiming that Key West is really, really haunted. She was so, so right. There you go. That was a good one.
That was a good one in a number of different ways. Number one, it was very well written.
Yes.
But number two, I have been to Key West on a number of times. And so because it was really well written, like I could see it.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing about when they went out to that point, it's like I walked there before. I knew exactly what she was talking about. But then I totally get a creepy ass feeling when I'm at Key West. And it's like all of that story I was in. I'm like, I believe everything that happened. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about Key West. It's a magical place. It's stunningly beautiful. The people have got this kind of interesting and weird vibe about them. And, you know, because they're kind of almost, I mean, they're island people. Mm-hmm. They're key people, you know, but it's just like totally, I've been into places in Key West that I'm just totally creeped out by. Now I want to know where it was they stayed, so I never happened to stay there.
I don't have that information, and even if I did, I would share it with you.
And I know you can't share it. But you know what? Like, if you ever found out and accidentally
told me
privately?
I would tell you off the air, but they didn't give me that. But, no, I mean, I've never been to Key West. I mean, when I
think... Oh, it's just a magical place. Like, everyone... And the drive down there, the way she was describing that, like...
Yeah.
I've done that. And it's just... It's a really cool place to visit, but it's got this weird vibe to it.
I'd probably love it. I got to check that out sometime. I mean, when I think of like, you know, kind of coastal towns that are haunted, I think of like Savannah and Charleston, things of that nature. And those have those interesting vibes that are just creepy and weird.
See, but I've never spent the night at Key West because I've stopped there on cruise ships like three times.
Yeah.
And then one time we just drove from Miami down there.
Yeah.
Which was not a really great idea. Because we were too broke to afford a hotel and we really should have spent the night. But that's another story for another kind of podcast. But it was like that story, like I was in it.
Yeah, that was very well written. And I appreciate you guys.
Even the shower. I'm like, don't take the shower. And then
she took like, shower. It's all going bad and scary. Let's take a shower. No.
It's just like, no, that's what they do in Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Not the right step here in this horror story. But hey, if it adds to the story, go for it. But no, thank you for sharing that. And we'd, of course...
That was good.
Yeah, would love to hear more stories from you if you have more. Because that was one of those gems. I really like that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Go into a call. Hi. Let's hear your story.
I'll give you a few more stories. This is Gina from Baltimore County. Interestingly enough, my cousin about 6 months ago told me that her mother, my aunt, had told my cousin that they had a terrible time with my mother when she was a little girl. They had a hard time getting her to sleep because they would find her sitting up talking to things that weren't there. How interesting I think that was to hear that because of my experience and how my mother dealt with it. Anyhow, okay, let's continue. At the age of 4, my father's father came to visit from Wisconsin. He had been there several days, and each morning he would take a walk around the neighborhood and come back. He was probably, I guess, in his 60s, if I remember. Anyhow, I noticed one night that he had a dark cloud all around his head and shoulders. It was black and charcoal gray. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I didn't like it. So I begged my mother the next morning to let me go with him, and she firmly said no. And so my grandfather left that morning, and he was coming back the last several days pretty much about the same time, so I guess he walked the same route. Anyhow, it was getting later and later, and I went out to the fence, and I watched. Well, I saw him come up a side street, which was uphill, and turn the corner, and I smiled. Only then, as he got a little closer, I noticed he was humped over with his hand to his chest, and I could hear him breathing very strangely. So I ran up the porch steps into the house and yelled, "Ma, Ma, something wrong, Grandpa." She said, "What?" I said, "Something wrong, Grandpa." And she went out to the porch. I heard her scream, "Oh, my God." She ran to the telephone. In those days, there was no 911. Called the operator, said she needed an ambulance at the address. Ran to the freezer and grabbed a dishcloth with ice. Ran outside telling me to stay put. Anyhow, needless to say, that evening, my grandfather passed away. Then I guess I was about the age of 12 when I noticed that my grandmother kept complaining about heartburn and indigestion. That was my mother's mother. She was probably 72, if I remember. Anyhow, sure enough, there was the same dark cloud that I had seen when I was 4 years old, this time around her. And needless to say, 4 or 5 days later, she also passed away. In life, I would go on to see that cloud one other time with a boss of mine who I followed home because he was drunk and he wouldn't let me drive him home, only to have him die several days later in a very suspicious fire. They said that he fell asleep with a cigarette, but there was also somebody else in the house who had robbed him, so it's very suspicious, but they didn't want to push it, the family. So the other thing I could see that I noticed was women would have a rosy red fuchsia cloud about them. I knew they were pregnant. Later on, I found out that they were most likely called auras, but they were the only two things that I could see. Anyhow, as I went through my life, some of my stories and experiences get more intense. I did later on deal with a demon that I ended up having a confrontation with, but I'll get to that. That's when I was in my mid-20s. And there was another experience before that, but let's take it. All right. Let's see. Probably at the age of 21, I lived in a community not too far from the house that I grew up, actually. And I would hear strange voices, whistling. No one was in the apartment with me, although there were two people that later on ended up living with me. And at that time, I went to sleep. One was in her bedroom, the other one was on my sofa. And the fan kept going from high to medium to low, to medium to high, to medium to low. It was a box fan on the floor facing, blowing up to the bed. So I sat up and I looked at the fan as it was changing speeds. I did not notice that the dial was moving or not because I had three mirrors on the side of the bed that had an energy ball, not an orb. This was a glowing, swirling, white, blue, silverish ball that was going in and out of each of the mirrors back and forth. I returned my attention to the fan and in the direction yelled, "Go back from whence you came. You are not welcome here." The fan went back to high. The energy ball disappeared into the mirror and the bedroom door went slam. About 60 seconds later, both roommates came through the bedroom door. "Is everything all right?" I said, "Yeah, I guess the wind caught the door and blew it shut." But I knew that wasn't the case because the window was shut, the air conditioning was on, but it didn't work very well. That's why I had the fan in the bedroom. But I didn't want to cause a panic. Now, I think I'll leave you with that for now and see what you do with these. And if you like them, I'll call back and give you some more experiences I had, okay?
Thank you for sharing those experiences with us. Thoughts?
I think there was a lot to unpack there. And one of the things that I'm kind of fascinated by is that whole idea of seeing an aura, especially when you're young and you don't know that's what it is. And like he said, then he found out that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a really weird kind of power to have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, wouldn't that be strange?
Yeah. I mean, to suddenly start seeing colors around people and things of that, I would be like, what's wrong with me?
You know? And, you know, especially if it's dark and like when you're really little, like I think he was pretty little when it started happening and you wouldn't connect the two, like, mm-hmm. oh, that's death until later. But how distracting would that be? Like you're out having a beer with somebody. It's like, shit, the dark cloud.
Yeah.
You know, that would be horrible. But the fact that he could tell when people were pregnant by the pink or whatever color cloud that was. I thought that was really interesting.
What I find interesting about that is that someone's pregnant. So you see pink. Does that mean it's a female? And it would be light blue if it's a boy?
Or I mean,
because then I don't know. Because then I kind of go back to, well, where did we originally pick these colors? Where did we originally pick pink from? Where did we originally pick blue as the boy color? Why were those the assigned colors, you know, for the sexes of male and female? Why are we driven to these colors for these specific reasons? Why is are females naturally more driven to the color pink? Why are males more naturally driven to the color blue? What is that?
Yeah.
And it makes me kind of wonder about things like that, like auras and things of that nature. Does it go back to another place in time where that sort of thing was more, I guess, accepted or understood, that there was the you know, the spiritual healer of the town or whatnot, and that one could say, I see pink on your aura, it's going to be a girl. I see blue, it's blue. I'd be curious to know how far back that goes and where the originating, you know, I guess, assignment of those colors comes from. And then I wondered, does it have anything to do with things like that?
And then I wonder about him as a person, because then if you're I mean, let's just face it, not everybody has that ability.
Sure.
So then does that kind of open you up to other things? Like the whole, like, and then there was the demon encounter I'll tell you about later. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if, like, you know, maybe some people are on just kind of a little different level than the rest of us. Like, we're down here and they're, like, up here a little ways.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think they are.
I just think it's interesting, and it sounds like his whole life has been like that. Is it a blessing or is it a curse? I don't know. The demon thing, that would be a curse. Like the aura thing would be kind of cool. It'd be like, hey, you're pregnant. And that could be a fun party game. But like, hey, you're going to die. That would be horrible.
I think it's almost like anything in life. I mean, even outside of the world of supernatural, if you have some sort of gift or talent in whatever area it may be, there are certain amount of pros that come along with that are great.
Yeah.
But with anything, there are still going to be cons. And people on the outside may look in and go, oh, it's so great for you. You have this and that, and you have this ability. Yes, but there's also a lot of struggles that go along with this that you probably have never considered because you're not me. And we don't have the same outlooks because we don't have the same experiences. There's nothing wrong that you don't understand that. I don't blame you, but we have different experiences, just the same as I would with someone that would be, you know, criticizing that. And I think it's the same with that sort of thing. It's like from afar, you can go, oh, neat, this is great, or that would be horrible. There's pros and cons. And it all depends, I think, on the outlook of the individual and how they're able to cope with the abilities that they have and use them for good or use them as a detriment or end up, you know, suffering from the negativity that may come along with it rather than trying to find more of the positives.
And don't you think their brains should be studied? You know, like on Dr. Phil, when he's like, you know, you are a drug addict and this is your brain. And then they show this brain scan. Like, there's so much of your brain you don't use or we don't know what we do with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it would be fascinating for someone to study his brain.
I agree. I mean, we look at, you know, brains of serial killers.
Why does he have abilities that we don't have?
And we never look at those things. Nobody ever says, oh, quick, stop. Let's look at their brain for something like that. We look at it on serial killers. We look at it on sociopaths. We look at it on all different
drug addicts. Like, here's your problem.
All different ailments and go, well, this lobe over here was not quite developed right. I would love to know what someone who has these abilities and can accurately prove them in life to be accurate.
Right?
Then what does the brain look like in that individual once they've passed?
You need to write to Dr. Phil. I'm telling you, because he's got friends, you know, and they have like these centers that study brains.
Carol, here's the thing. I got a center that's already studying people who see auras, and it's coming up this fall on Dr. Phil.
And
weeknights
no
at 4 p.m. on
you
CBS.
Make the pancake, it still has two sides.
Exactly. Dr. Phil. I just snorted.
I watch him every day.
You do?
Every single day, even when it sucks, I still watch it.
Is this like a guilty pleasure confession of Carol Hughes?
100%. Like, I don't know what it is I love about Dr. Phil, but I just don't know, because sometimes they'll say something really smart.
You know, I don't have anything against Dr. Phil. I do not watch it on any sort of regular. I don't think I've ever even watched an episode in its entirety.
Oh my God, I tape it.
I'll watch like clips every now and then. I don't watch Dr. Oz on any sort of regular basis.
But no, I don't watch Dr. Oz.
But I'll see like snippets from him, and I always find it kind of interesting. But he also really gets into that world of like, I think this is a paid person that's on your show and you're talking about it, is how I feel. I don't know if it's true.
Dr. Phil's doing that a lot lately, too.
Like, I can't prove it's true, but I think it might be true.
But I'm always like, okay, so you're obviously selling that fantastic skin rejuvenation cream. Why not me? Like, why did you pick that woman? I would like to go on Dr. Phil and use the amazing skin rejuvenation cream that you're apparently selling.
Is that what's going on that show?
He does that. He does that.
There you go. Well, I'll have to watch Dr. Phil sometime soon. We love you guys. If you like the show, help keep us on the air, as always. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get all of the bonus content. It's always coming out for you. Till next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.